Hello, and welcome to another AARP-tastic episode of We Only Look Thin. I am Catherine.
This is where we are now.
I am Catherine Weigel. I am one of your hosts. I have lost over 120 pounds and kept it off for over 6 years.
Yeah.
I'm a Tiny Habits certified coach, a Thrive Global certified coach, and on the precipice on the precipice of being eligible for AARP retirement status. And with me today is on the I'm not going to say precipice again. Who are you?
Donald Weigel. And I am one of the hosts of this show. I have lost about 100 pounds. I've kept it off for about 6 years. And I think that I am AARP-tastic or whatever you said it was at the beginning. I am here to talk about it.
I am also here to talk about it. We right now, as we are speaking, we have parents visiting, specifically my parents and Donald's parent-in-laws.
Yeah.
And so I am going to respond to a text from my stepmother about going for a walk this morning. So I'm just going to say yes to her text. And we will keep recording. So, Donald, see, this is real life is actually happening.
Okay. So, I guess this is happening. So, last week, we discussed the first half of an article from thegirlfriend.com, which
so
is
fun.
Brought to you by AARP, the American Association of Retired Persons. I believe it's persons. It is called 10 Habits That Changed My Life Forever, and it's written by a woman named Katie Smith, and, you know, as we do with many, many things, they don't all seem completely obviously about weight loss and fitness, but as we've said before, that everything is really about weight loss and fitness when you think about it. We also talked a lot about Christopher Cross.
We did.
Well, I don't know how that happened exactly.
I was trying – look. I'm just letting you know, we're not yacht rock folk. We're not. We're not
going to.
We're not into the Doobie Brothers. We're not into. I can't even think of anybody else.
Hall & Oates is yacht rock.
Yacht rock. Yeah, like we're not really yacht people folk, which is no shade to those who are. But I was just trying to, you know, sometimes I just try to be funny.
Yeah,
because
like,
Donald is
if
not.
If you are yacht rock folk, please like know that we still love you.
We respect you.
Yeah, you're you know, if you. One of the things we talked about in last week's episode was letting people do what they want to do. And if what you want to do is listen to yacht rock, we're all about that.
Yeah. That is a really good point. I'm really glad that you brought that up.
Yeah. So going back, the first five habits that we talked about last week were moving my body, finding a creative outlet, letting people do what they want to do, being protective about sleep, and meditating. Those were the first five habits. Now we're going to talk about the next five.
Yeah.
Six through 10.
We are going to do that, but I'll just ask. Have you thought about any of those, everyone? It's so easy to forget what you say. You're like, you listen to an episode and you're like, that was great info. And then you just go back to like whatever you were doing.
Well, I have to confess that last week's episode, I said I was going to come up with a plan to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
But we finished recording that episode literally 10 minutes ago.
So we haven't
so
yet.
So I haven't yet in the meantime. So it hasn't actually been a whole week for us since we recorded it. I don't know if that is shocking information for anyone out in the audience that we didn't actually wait a week before recording this. But
letting you behind.
By next week's episode.
Yeah.
I will have come up with a plan.
I think it will actually happen. I would like to say for myself, because we're going to get into it in just a second, but letting people do what they're going to do, I would like to give myself a check mark, a positive check mark for something I did last night.
You let me do something I wanted to do?
Well, you and my stepmom walked to dinner, which was great. I drove.
Right.
But I would like to say that I did not eat any of the sides that I like. I specifically, I didn't have any chips for chips and
good
salsa.
For you. Yeah, we went to a Mexican restaurant. I ate all the food.
But you walked there and back.
I did walk there and back. Walked to the restaurant and
but
back.
But I decided because I was having a good day, I was like, I really want to enjoy my tacos. And I did. And I felt great. And
my mother-in-law loves to walk, which is great.
So. Yeah. And we're going to go. That was what the text was about. They're having coffee right now. Would we like to go for a walk after we finish podcasting? And I said yes.
Yes. The answer is yes. The answer to would I like to go for a walk is always yes.
Exactly. So now, like Donald said, we're going to do the 6 through 10 of Katie Smith's article in The Girlfriend, which is an e-newsletter by AARP, the shadow company behind friendly sounding.
Shadow company, AARP, up to dark deeds in dark corners like of the internet.
Giving discounts on Wednesdays at Woolworths.
That's right.
That's
right. Or
how dare you.
Or TGI Fridays. I couldn't think of, what's that diner chain where you get a discount on Wednesday if you're a senior? It doesn't matter.
I don't know. I don't even know why I want to plug them. Okay, like when you get old, if someone's going to give you a discount, sure, bring it on.
Yeah,
like, why
not?
I'm not proud. I'm not a proud person, Donald.
I remember growing up and like everyone just being like, never wanted to admit they were a senior yet. But, and look, technically, I'm not quite there, but I will be pretty soon.
Fairly soon. Well, our daughter calls him old man.
Yeah.
And I think she's afraid to call me anything. So I think she knows better than to guess what I'm up to. She does say that we're born in the 1900s, though. So
yeah, that's just mean, even if it's true.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be nice. So, okay. Anyway, so number 6 on Katie Smith's list is honoring my commitments to myself. Guess, if you will, among us, who up until age 40 did not do anything that related to taking care of myself or commitments to myself.
Was it you?
It was me.
Oh, and guess what? It was also me. Very bad at asserting my boundaries and actually telling people what I needed. And I really still have a hard time with it and consider it such a big victory when I actually tell somebody what I need or what I want.
Exactly. So Katie Smith says, we are so quick to break engagements or promises to ourselves, yet we rarely do it to other people. Isn't that funny?
Sometimes
I have a day scheduled to work on a goal or something I was really looking forward to, and I broke my plans because someone needed something. Of course, there's always times when something might interrupt our day, but I was letting others dictate my day. And for me, it was almost like I tricked myself into being overwhelmed. It was almost like a loophole of like, oh, my plan today is to, you know, food prep. And then someone would need something.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't. And then I would be like, man, I never have any time to do what I want to do. See, like, I can't lose weight because I can't do this. Now I don't have time for anything and I'm going to go get takeout.
Yeah. Not only does this overlap with boundaries, and we've done many episodes about boundaries, it overlaps with self-sabotage, which we've done many episodes about self-sabotage as well. And I used to lie to myself in this exact way over and over again. Well, of course, I can't stick to my diet right now because of, you know, I've gone out running errands and now I'm starving and my only choice is to eat fast food, rather than honoring the commitment to myself to protect my health and fitness goals, so to speak, and to invest in myself by not eating that fast food and by actually being prepared, because, you know, eat ahead of time, bring food with me, that kind of thing, you know, which I do now. And I look at a clock before I go run errands and realize, you know what, I'm probably going to be really hungry halfway through this. I better do something about it ahead of time.
Well, if I really think about it too, I think because I was so overweight for so long, I felt like I had to overcompensate by being super helpful, being always available to other people.
Yeah.
I wanted people to like me. And of course, people are only going to like me if I am of service to them. Not just because I was me being who I was, but because I could help them out with something or take on a responsibility or pick them up. I was actually ruminating on, like, I babysat for someone when I was younger and hated it. But I just did it because I wanted them to like me. That's not a great thing.
Well, and look, I don't know how much of it was in my head, but I know that when I was 100 pounds overweight, I felt like I had to try harder to prove that I was worth
something
to other people. So I would oftentimes go out of my way to make sure they were happy at the expense of myself, or at the expense of you know, sabotaging, torpedoing commitments to myself, because I felt like if I didn't do that, you know, I had this obstacle to face, which was my weight, to get people to like me or to see my self-worth.
Oh, that's really, like, I know, ha ha ha, we're yeah. funny podcast, but that, like,
and look, cuts I to the don't core. Know, I don't even know that people were actually thinking that, but I was thinking that people were thinking that about me for sure.
No, 100%. Katie goes on to say, at first, putting myself first in this way felt really foreign. I turn my phone off when I don't want to be interrupted, and I'm not afraid to tell people when I'm not available. I'm much more productive when honoring myself, and I never feel like I'm putting myself last. It is, and this is kind of like the cap on this one, and it's something that I've only learned very recently. It is okay to let other people down.
Yeah.
It is okay for other people to find other people to do their, I was going to say their bidding. That sounds kind of mean.
You must find someone else to do your bidding.
But like, if you're always the person who's the go-to, like, you know what? She'll never say no. Catherine will never say no. I know I can rely on her. It lets other people, one, be lazy. Like, oh, well, I don't want to do it. She'll do it. It takes, like, other people need to be responsible for themselves. They need to be responsible for the commitments that they make. And it also lets other people, like, oh, hey, maybe someone else can help out. Maybe I can think outside the box and go other way. So,
yeah, like, you know, you can't take, we've talked about this too in other episodes. You know, it is impossible to just take on the weight of the world and to make every problem your problem. And, you know, we've talked about, you know, not just taking on other people that you know, not just taking on their problems, but taking on the problems of the world and yeah. using those as an excuse to not honor the commitments to yourself. Like, there has to be a point where you put yourself first. And as the author says, as Catherine just said, it can be very difficult. But if you don't do that, then it is very difficult to ever achieve a health and fitness goal.
Right. And before, I used to reward myself by all of the overworked, underappreciated. I used to use food as my reward
for all of
the self-sacrifice. Yeah. So not only in taking care of yourself, do you feel better about yourself, you feel more empowered, but you're more focused on, like, once you start taking care of yourself, you keep wanting to do it. So that's honoring my commitments to myself. Do it. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, so the next one, I have a little bit of preamble for the next one. Catherine thinks she's so funny. She found this article and she decided which of us were going to read each one of these. And she picked this one for me. And the next one on the list is...
It just happened to be the next one.
Oh, it just happened. It was just a coincidence.
Oh my gosh. Let me be who I am.
This one, not only do I not do it, I don't want to do it. but we are... The author wrote it. She says it's good for you. So I'm going to read it. And the next one is unplugging. She says, I'm happier when I'm not on my phone or computer a lot. Wrong. Incorrect. Happier when I'm on both of those things a lot. Sorry, let me start over. I'm happier when I'm not on my phone or computer a lot. It took me a while to realize this and break the habit of constantly checking my phone. It took my son telling me he didn't think I could make it through an entire lunch without checking my phone to get me to do it. Her son needs to mind his own business.
I'm processing this with you all, people. So, like, I know you're literally listening to digital content right now. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And keep doing it. I think that it's fine to be on your phone and your computer all the time. She wraps up by saying, after that afternoon, I felt a huge weight lift off my shoulders, and I realized nothing would happen if I wasn't available the second someone needed me. And
so, how does that all make you feel, Donald?
It makes me feel attacked. And makes me feel like she doesn't know what she's talking about in this moment.
And it totally invalidates the entire article.
I'm 30%, 60%, 20% joking. I can't tell
that's
how much.
That's a lot of percent.
I can't tell how much I'm actually joking.
So that's
110%. And how much I'm serious. Yeah. This is one of those things where I genuinely, like, don't want to make any effort to change my habits with my computer or phone use, but maybe I should? Question mark.
Well, here's the thing. I remember a long while ago, I had suggested that as a family, we do like a no digital evening.
Yeah, no,
and
that's
do you remember
terrible.
What you...
I feel like I probably...
you were very angry. Both of you probably. Were like, how
yeah.
dare
yeah,
you?
Yeah, our daughter's right about this one. I will call the police on a digital free evening. That's right.
So I
will call the police on my analog phone.
So unplugging can be difficult, and there are multiple circumstances. There's unplugging at work is very difficult when people feel like they need to respond to every Slack message, every instant message immediately. It can be hard to stay focused on a single task because we feel like we need to be available for other people. You, for a very long time, had a job in which you were basically on call every day of the week, every night, every morning, every holiday, you needed to be available. And how did that make you feel?
Terrible.
Right. But you have a job now where weekends are kind of free-ish, right?
Yeah, it's a fairly new job, but I really don't get bothered like after probably 6 or 7 p.m. during the week, and I don't really get bothered on the weekend at all.
So that feels better, right?
It's great.
Okay, so that is a part of stepping away and like being able to unplug to focus on the things you want to plug into, which is like your Bluetooth plugging into your own computer.
Oh, thank you for putting it in like a way I understand about electronics. Yes, thank you.
Uh-oh. Donald is Captain Computer, so I'm sorry for that little aggressive behavior.
If you want me to understand something, make it about electronics or Star Wars or football or superheroes.
That was clutch.
And then I'll get it.
It was clutch. That's clutch right. has something to do with that, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
So...
You're pretty clutch. That's what I have to say.
Thanks. So unplugging for me is, again, I basically if I was a Barbie doll, my job would be a computer, I guess, because I work on my computer all the time. Or my job is Zoom, I guess, because that's a lot of what I do. But
my job is Zoom.
But being able to unplug and be in the moment for me, that is sort of part of my like short meditation thing of going on a walk without any digital devices on me, of just really being present in the moment. Doing a short meditation is great. There are times when because I do photography quite a lot, where even though I'm like pretending to be unplugged, I will just take pictures of everything, and that doesn't seem like it's very social or really living in the moment.
Yeah.
But Donald and I were on vacation once, and I was taking pictures of the beautiful sunset and us like enjoying ourselves in the beautiful sunset.
I feel like I sound really mean and terrible in this.
No, but you're right. Because I take a lot of pictures.
Okay, I actually didn't even let you tell the story.
Okay, but we were on an evening sailboat cruise, and I was taking pictures of us enjoying ourselves. And Donald turned to me and said, "What if we just enjoyed ourselves and enjoyed the sunset instead of taking pictures of ourselves enjoying the sunset?" And but it was very sobering of like, oh, I could just be present with my husband on a sunset cruise instead of capturing images for the internet of us enjoying ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a good reminder to be present in the moment instead of just trying to capture the moment. So whatever unplugging means to you, whether it's turning your phone off for like the evening, I put my phone on silent after 7. I don't really need to be available. Like we also go to sleep early.
Yeah.
So people sometimes text us at 10:30 at night. I'm not awake. I don't want to hear the, you know, bing, bing, bings of phones. So I unplug for that. I love going to the botanical garden. I love going on hikes. And when we're more present in the moment, the days can seem longer and more languid than getting lost on the internet.
Well, in all seriousness, I know that I probably would benefit from taking some of the time that I spend on my phone or computer and channeling it into other pursuits that I always say I don't have time for. And I think that we do have a habit as people of saying we don't have time for things. And then we're on, you know, TikTok or whatever for 2 hours at night. And we could be doing some of those things we say we don't have time for.
Yeah. Even buying back like 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Like, we're not saying give up the internet, but maybe pull back a little bit and do something in your three-dimensional environment.
And look, I'm not sure I'm ready to do any of it, but but I have to admit that probably I would benefit from some sort of changing of my focus.
We'll see. We don't have to do all of these things.
Okay, so what is the next habit on the list from Katie Smith's article?
Okay, so this kind of ties into the last one. Number 8 is doing nothing.
Yeah.
Now, that is very difficult for someone like me who used to, and I still do, tie my self-worth with my productivity.
Now, this one I'm totally on board with.
Wait, on board with?
Doing nothing. It sounds nothing. Great. Yes.
Okay. So she says, I used to feel guilty if I sat on the sofa and stared out a window doing nothing. I believed it was a luxury I couldn't afford because I was too busy. Then I got knocked down with the flu and was too sick to do anything. I was forced to lie there without being productive. Yes, things piled up and I got a little behind, but the world didn't fall apart. And I realized if I had taken a little more time to rest and do nothing, I might not have gotten sick in the first place. Now, sitting and doing nothing for a few minutes a day has become extremely therapeutic. This is very difficult for me. I am like a shark. When I sit, like, it's like sharks have to keep moving to breathe.
Right.
I feel like sitting is like, if I don't produce something right now, I'm not a good person. And I have to really work on that. This is probably the most difficult one for me.
And I've had to really work on it too. I think I've actually had some success with it in all seriousness. I know, like, haha, he's had success at doing nothing. Haha. But really, for me, this is all about recharging my batteries. And I have had this habit over the years of tying my self-worth to checking things off of a to-do list. And that would lead to me, even if they were fun things, that would lead me to working, you know, 5 days a week. And then on the weekend, just driving myself to check things off a to-do list, running errands, doing chores, you know, doing adult things. And really, then I would start Monday exhausted because I spent my weekend doing, you know, things like getting things off the to-do list. And really just, it's not necessarily just doing literally nothing, but doing something that really is relaxing and recharging so that then I have the emotional and physical bandwidth to attack the week and attack my health and fitness goals is very important to me. And learning that has been really a crucial step.
Well, and two, feeling like we have to justify stillness is really hard. Like, I mean, Donald and I still are like, you know, if one of us is sitting and the other is doing something, it feels like a personal attack.
Right.
Like, wow, you're doing dishes and I'm not doing anything. Like, oh no, like I need to match your energy level or your whatever. And it is difficult to not feel like people are judging you when you're still. Also, as a people pleaser, it's like, well, what are you doing today? Like, if you say nothing, that means that what you're really saying is, I'll do whatever you want to do. And it's okay to, again, disappoint people. And you don't have to, like, have a plan in order to say no to other people. You can sit back and do what you want to do. And for me, like, with magazine subscriptions that pile up, where I'm like, I don't have time to read the magazine. I don't have time to do whatever. Like, being able to step away from my to-do list and focus on my who I want to be list. I just came up with that right now. How awful and like gross is that? But I just came up with it. But like, I want to be the kind of person who can recharge. I want to be the kind of person who can sit back and enjoy the day sometimes and drink a cup of coffee and not be like, well, this is what I accomplished today. So many times when we wouldn't accomplish something, we would say today was a waste of time.
Right.
I wasted my time today. Like it was some like.
That's so hard to hear, but it's true.
But like, it's okay to not achieve anything. We don't have to be perfect every day. And this is really big, especially for when you are sick. I know a lot of people, and this used to be my mindset of like, I'm sick, but I need to hit my step goal. I'm sick, but I need to like go to the gym, or I signed up for something. I've got to do it. It is okay to not hit your goals every day. It is okay to rest and accommodate when you're not up to it, especially like if, because I used to injure myself this way.
Right.
Like, well, I've got to sweat it out, or I've got to like, I don't want to miss my streak. We're not people who are like getting streaks. We're people who want to take care of ourselves. And if that means not having our ideal day every day, it is okay. It's okay to model that for those around us as well, because I don't want people to be like forced to be active every second. Like that's not what the energy that I want to put on other people. So it's okay to do it for ourselves. It's okay to miss our goals on occasion when we feel like we need to recharge.
Well, so. And not only is it okay, I think it's necessary in a lot of cases. And, resting and recharging is a really important part of this process, at least certainly for me, and I imagine for most people.
Yeah.
Okay, so number 9 on the list, we are coming into the home stretch, is investing in myself. And the author sort of takes a tact of investing in yourself financially. Is a lot of the gist of the article. She talks about, buying the boxed hair color instead of getting, it done by a professional. And I think that one of the points she makes is that whenever there would be like a course or something that could improve her profession or her career, but it costs money, she wouldn't do it because she didn't feel like it was worth spending the money on. And I think that is a good point to realize that you are worth spending money on yourself when it actually is going to help your well-being. Something like joining a support group. Yeah. I didn't mean to turn this into a Walt Place ad, but if something like that, if an app that helps you track your calories is behind a paywall, but it really is going to benefit you, spending the money on that app might really be worth it for you. Joining a program that might really help you might be worth spending the money on. Getting the mental health support that you need, spending the money on that might be really worth it. But also, less about money is actually investing in yourself by realizing that all of the time and effort that you put into a health and fitness journey really is an investment in yourself. And changing your mindset about that has been really crucial for me. And I used to think to myself, well, I'm not going to spend this time exercising because I really deserve to sit on the couch and watch a rerun of Seinfeld or something. But really changing my mind about it and realizing that doing that exercise or doing that meal prep or doing whatever habit it was that was going to help me get towards my health and fitness goal really was an investment in myself and in my future self was really key in getting to my goals.
Okay, so on the flip side, the fleazy,
yeah,
as they call it.
Yeah.
The kids call it.
The kids, they say fleazy. I think they said that 20 some years ago.
I think so.
Yeah.
Here's a hard punch in the gut. I'm gonna tell you right now.
Okay.
When I was twice the weight that I am right now.
Yeah.
I didn't think I deserved things.
Yeah.
I didn't think I deserved clothes. I didn't think I deserved new bras. I didn't think I deserved good running shoes.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was like, when I will be worthy.
This is a great point.
When I hit my goal weight. Until then, like, I don't want to have nice clothes because like that's rewarding myself for who I am right now.
That's a great point.
And for me, that like investing in yourself and taking care of yourself matters so much. We deserve good things at whatever size we are, wherever we are in our journey. We also, and this is a whole other can of worms, of investment worms, but each of us, and this is a really big thing in relationships, there is a podcast called I Will Teach You to Be Rich. And the host talks about different money dials. And that reflects the way each of us values how we spend money. Some people like physical objects, like they want, a fancy car or a fancy house. Other people value experiences. I want to spend money on travel, that kind of thing. There are lots of different ways we can spend money. But oftentimes we feel judged by others because they don't see the worth in you spending money the way you want to spend money. So for example, hey, I want to buy an expensive pair of running shoes. Well, and then the other person says, well, can't you just buy the cheap ones?
Right.
Like, why would anyone spend that much money on running shoes? Why does anyone need a support group? Why does anyone need to join the gym? Just work out at home. When we feel judged by the things we want to invest in, it brings us shame and feelings of like, well, I'm not worth it. Prove it to me that you're worth investing this money in. Conversely, if you spend a lot of money on something and you don't use it, like our new rowing machine
right.
or a gym membership, then suddenly you feel shame because, oh no, I bought this. I better get my money's worth out of it. So knowing that you could do like 5 minutes on your mini trampoline and it was worth the investment. If you do 5 minutes on the Peloton, that's worth the investment. If you go to the gym twice a month, it's still worth the investment. Not letting other people judge you for what they think you should be doing with the money that you're spending. For me, that was really huge. I have no problem buying things for our teen, but for me, like, oh, I need a new bra. Like,
yeah.
And Don's like, what are you talking about? You just spent like $100 at the like Target dollar bins or whatever, but you can't buy a bra for yourself. Again, that martyrdom of, no, I've got to save the money for everybody else. I can't buy, you know, the food that I want or the meal prep things because, you know, I'm not worthy yet. We are worthy today. Obviously, budget, spend, you know, be mindful, all that stuff, small print. But investing in ourselves is important at any stage of our journey.
So are canned worms a good investment? Is that what we're getting to eventually?
I don't know where canned worms come from. But I don't want them.
Yeah.
I don't want them.
No, so. We don't keep canned worms in the house. But yeah, just
fresh
just
worms
to,
are
just
much
to kind of, you know, put a small, bow on this, point. And look, this, I may be coming from a place of privilege, but if your chosen exercise is walking a lot or something that involves, you know, your movement, don't skimp on your shoes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Seriously, don't skimp on your shoes. Like, find something else. Again, I know maybe not everybody can buy nice shoes. I get it. You know, buy what you can afford. But if you can afford it, don't skimp on your shoes. Like, that's not where you want to save your money if you can help it.
No, it's a small investment.
It's so huge. And every time I buy a new pair of shoes, I am reminded how much, how important it is because, you know, the old ones, you know, I'll be like, oh, these are still fine. I could probably, and then I put the new ones on and I'm like, oh, those old ones were not fine. I'm glad I replaced them when I did.
Yeah, no, those, after having a foot injury, I now do not take my feet for granted. So what is our number 10 bring it home thing? Oh, it's mine.
It is your
it
turn
is
to
my
bring
turn.
Us home.
Oh boy, I talk so much.
Don't you? You're still trying to get people to do your bidding.
So this
and people are me in this case.
Okay, so number 10, and this has been a bigger one for me because I think maybe I'm sassy. I'm not sure, but cutting people out of my life.
I'm sassy, so I need to cut people out of my life, she says.
Okay, so the author says, nothing can weigh us down like a relationship that fills us with dread, hurt, or confusion. We are allowed to protect our time from whomever we want, even if they are family members. I, especially in the era of COVID and different sort of political things going on, I have gotten really good about, and not that it's fun, this isn't fun,
right?
But protecting myself from people that really make me feel bad or bring me down. Whether and this can be, and whether it's people or not, this can be friends, this can be colleagues, it can be podcasts or influencers that make you feel bad
about
yourself.
Don't cut this podcast out of your life, though.
but like, if things make you feel bad about yourself, if it doesn't lift you up, if you feel judged, or if you feel like, I'm never going to be at that level, like, why can't I do that? Only, like, try to surround yourself with as many things that lift you up instead of drag you down. And for me, I think I heard there was a quote, I want to say it was Uma Thurman recently. I don't know. It was somebody rich and famous. Which must be nice.
Must be nice.
Must be nice. Who said, I might cross, or it was something like, I can love someone, but still cross the street when I see them coming my way. Like, you can still feel love for people, but know that in your heart that it is not good for you with extended contact. And that's about setting boundaries. I have a few family members that are really challenging for me, that bring me anxiety and overwhelm and stress every single time I talk to them. I still love them, but I know that limiting my contact with them, limiting the conversations that I have with them, walking away from, like, hey, I'm not going to engage in this conversation, and setting that boundary keeps me much more healthy. They might not agree with it. They might say, like, well, that's not okay, you can't blah, which actually happened to me. But it's okay to not agree. It's okay to not have the same boundaries.
Yeah.
But protecting myself and protecting my self-worth has meant so much to my mental health.
And I have been extremely fortunate to not have a ton of people in my life who I really felt like I needed to cut out. However, for me, this has come, and Catherine touched on it, this has come in the form of, like, I used to be a news junkie. I used to feel like if you weren't informed about the world, that you weren't doing your job as a citizen. And then I realized that, you know, taking in all of that news was just really upsetting me all of the time. And almost none of it was anything I could do anything about. We did an episode about gravity issues, about letting go of things that you can't actually control or do anything about. And so, you know, cutting my news intake way, 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 way down, and really cutting my political intake way, 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 way down has really helped my mental health a lot, and has really helped me focus on what's important in terms of my health and fitness. And, you know, again, Catherine said it already, but, you know, unfollowing on social media people and organizations that make you unhappy, even if you support their position, but if you find yourself constantly getting angry by things, it might be time to examine. And it definitely was for me, you know, cutting a lot of that out of your life and instead getting, like, dancing kittens into your life.
Yes,
or puppies or something. We recently found can't remember her name. It's like something dancing queen. There's a cat who dances that's pretty fantastic on Instagram.
It's amazing. It's such a good dancer. Who knew the cats could dance?
I'll try to remember to link to her in the show notes.
but for me, and again, this can be difficult because, again, we want to be informed. We want to take agency and like help change the world. But if it's bringing you down so much, I'm super sensitive. Like, if I see a couple like in a grocery store 5 aisles away arguing about which soap to get, I get physically, like, physical pain. I'm way too empathetic. But for me, it's like with political things or social things, for me, donating to a cause, like, that is my level of willingness to participate.
Right.
I might not go to a march, I might not write a letter, but if I can support an agency that I care about, like, that's where I am right now. Different people have different bandwidths in which to contribute to society. For me, my mental health and our family is really important. And for me, and I actually had this conversation with the family member that I was trying to get out of my life. I was like, I care about my community in Wolt Place. I care about helping people who have issues with their weight or issues with their health. I want to empower other people to feel like they can do it.
Yeah.
That is the change and the positivity that we are bringing into the world. And that, like, I feel like that is where we can make the most difference. And it feels amazing every time someone leaves us a rating and a review or sends us an email talking about how something changed in their life or how they didn't feel like
it's
they could do it.
Huge and so satisfying. And that's the level where we can actually make a difference.
And like, I want to surround myself with that. I want to know, like, it means everything to know that we're helping people. And if we in turn inspire someone else to help someone that they know and that they love and turn them onto something positive and feel like they're like, you know, they have a place in the world. We are not background actors in other people's lives. We are not there to be like 100% of service to others. The more we can star in our own lives and actually enrich our lives by doing things that we want to do, moving in ways that feel good.
Right.
Like, and you know, and the whole point of this article was like beyond, you know, it took this the author into her 40s to start putting these things in place. And it took us that much time. Like, I didn't think I had a boundary problem. I didn't think I had, you know, issues with being, you know, in the background of other people's lives. And the more I realize that I can be the star of my own show and design my life as much as I can to feel like I'm like, you know, really making a difference, it feels amazing. And so in this article, like I said, we've given you 10 different things that you can look at to enhance your life. And even if you take on one of them, you know, and try it out, see how it feels. Change can feel hard.
Yeah.
Change is effortful. It takes, you know, it's not a passive thing that happens. We have to make a conscious effort, or we have the opportunity to make an effort to change our lives for the better. And guess what? If you don't like being a star in your own life, if you don't like boundaries, you can always stop doing that and go back to the old way.
Yeah. None of these changes have to be forever.
Yeah. So I don't know if you have the full list of the 10 things that we have done. I have at least some of them handy.
No, I have the full list. Okay. So the 10 things, the 10 habits that Katie Smith says that changed her life forever are moving my body, finding a creative outlet, letting people do what they want to do, being protective about sleep, meditating, honoring my commitments to myself, unplugging, doing nothing, investing in myself, and cutting people out of my life.
Yeah, so there are so many different ways that we can enhance our lives.
And number 11, listening to We Only Look Thin.
See, I thought you were
number 12, joining Wolt Place.
I thought you were going to say doing nothing, like not unplugging.
Yeah, that's right.
The nothing I will do that's is right. not unplugging and not unplugged. Meditating exactly. and not whatever. But yeah, so think of what you might be able to add to your life and let us know how that goes for you. Because really, this is like, you're never too old to make a change, to advocate for yourself. And we're trying to build identities as people who are like the best years aren't behind us is what I want for my
life.
I want
sure.
the best to be in the future. And we become the kinds of people we want to be by doing the things those people do.
And the main thing that those people do is listen to We Only Look Thin. And you've already done that. So thank you so much for doing that. Our most recent 300 episodes are all available on all the major podcast platforms, wherever you found this one. And you can go back to episode number one if you visit our website. It's not behind a paywall, but the major podcast platforms, for whatever reason, limit you to 300 episodes. So if you want to listen to the very first ones, go to our website and listen there, or you download them, take them with you somewhere. You can do that too at weonlylookthin.com.
Yep. And if you are at weonlylookthin.com, click on that link for join our support group to find out more about Wolt Place. We Only Look Thin Place is our Facebook-based accountability group for women. We are not a weight loss plan, but we are a place for accountability and fellowship and sharing and growth. I'm so proud of the community. We've got people doing intermittent fasting and Weight Watchers and calorie tracking, lots of different ways to get it done. But we all support one another no matter. It's not really about what vegetable you eat at what time. It's more about mindset, and that's what we focus on there. We've got two subscription options, a monthly option with a 3-day complimentary trial and a 3-month subscription with a 7-day complimentary trial to see if Wolt Place is right for you.
Yeah, so please check it out. But if you do want to focus on what vegetable to eat at one time, you also can do that.
Yeah.
Also, you can interact with us on social media. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram at We Only Look Thin, or you can find us via email. You can email us to weonlylookthin@gmail.com. We enjoy episode suggestions. We enjoy questions. We've turned a lot of listener emails into episodes of the show. If you just want to reach out and tell us we've done something that has helped you, we love to hear that. Give us a compliment, tell us we're funny, tell us we're super good looking. All of those things are welcome via email, weonlylookthin@gmail.com.
They are also welcome if you head over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review. Say all of the nice things. We really do appreciate it. For every new review that we get, an angel gets its wings. But like, we really do appreciate it. Every single new listener, it means so much to know that after all of these years, we're still connecting with new people. So thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to plug in and leave us a rating and a review.
Yes, indeed. Or you could leave us a rating and review in real life. You could tell somebody about the show. That is really one of the best ways in which the show grows. If you just give us a shout out either in person, or if you're on a Reddit group or a Discord server or a Facebook group, something involving weight loss and fitness, and you give us a shout out, it really is one of the best ways in which the show grows. When people hear testimonials from others, it means a lot. And everyone can tell you are somebody who knows what they're talking about when you recommend our show. So give us a shout out.
Yep.
So if you're still trying to figure out how to get people to do your bidding or whether you should invest in canned worms, just remember that Catherine and I are an inspiration.
The information that you hear on this podcast is for informational purposes only. The hosts are not medical professionals. You should always consult with your doctor, nurse, or other certified health professional before beginning any diet or fitness program.